Welcome to Next Level Christianity, a podcast designed to teach Christians biblical truth, help apply it to their daily lives, and gain true clarity of what it means to follow Jesus. Our churches and Christian communities are being influenced by cultural and worldly views, and few pastors are teaching on how to live a biblical life. My name is John Alkire, along with my beautiful wife, Carrie Ann. Please join us as we have important conversations where biblical truth and life application collide. We hope these episodes help equip and motivate you to take your Christian faith to the next level. So grab your Bible and join us in the conversation. Welcome back to another episode of Next Level Christianity, like we like to say, where biblical truth and life application collide. That's what happens in these episodes. We're excited you're with us. I'm your host, John Alkire. And tonight, my beautiful wife and co-host, Carrie Ann, will not be joining us for several reasons. One, we're back to school and that's been chaotic. And it's been crazy with school and sports. And I'm going to be talking in this episode about biblical men. So there's going to be a focus on men here. Not that she didn't want to join that. She knows exactly what I'm going to be talking about tonight. It just didn't work out in our schedules, and I wanted to get this out. So she won't be joining tonight, but we're excited. We're going to be kicking out another one this week about women and modesty from the Bible, which she'll be joining and probably leading a majority of that one. So be sure to look out for that. But anyway, assuming everybody is... parents out there are transitioning their kids back into school, so hope that is going well. We're in our second week. I think some schools start this week, but wherever you're at, I'm sure you're at a point where you're super excited. You've spent enough money, you've run out of things to do, and you are ready to get the kids back out of your hair. So however that's transitioning, we wish you the best. We hope it's going well. And just some housekeeping from all the different platforms, podcast platforms you're joining us on. Statistics will tell us that iTunes is by far the top. So if that's you, please rate us at the bottom. There's some stars. Give us some stars, whatever you think. And if you want, please comment. We'd love to read them. But the more stars we get, the more that iTunes moves us through reaching more audiences through their process. So please tell us what you think. Give us some ratings. Again, tonight... talking to men, again, women, glad to be joining this as well, but I'm going to be focusing on what it means to be a biblical man, and there's so much on this, there's not enough time, so I've kind of broke this out a little bit the way I felt like I was being led to, and we're going to talk about four characteristics, and we're going to focus in those four areas. Just to start off, I'm a man, I'm a Christian. This was very important for me to go through and study. I'm far from perfect in these areas, and this really challenged me. So, man, I hope it challenges you and opens your eyes, and we can definitely run a check on ourselves in all these areas. And I'm excited to deliver this to you. There's so much content, not enough time. Again, there's all these different directions we could go with this, but under the time constraints, we're going to keep it tight. And so... bear with me here. Grab your Bibles if you can, or get on your apps and join in, because we're going to go through some of this, okay? So, unfortunately, in the Christian communities, we are not totally seeing men fulfilling the roles God gave us. There's some different categories men will fall under. One, you're married, or you're not. You're single. There's some biblical content. Paul will say... In the New Testament, Paul talks about Christians most effective when they're single because they don't have a wife and kids, and they can do more kingdom building efforts because they don't have all the distractions. But if you're married, he gives different instruction on how to do that. Paul, as we know, wasn't married, but I believe God gave us a helper in Genesis, as we talked about. God's will for us is to have a woman as men to marry. And our, you know, obviously we talked about last episode, our sexual desires are such that we need a woman in our life and a married woman to fulfill those. But more or less, it says also in the Bible, God's intention for marriage, I believe it was in Malachi, it said God's intention for marriage is to produce holy offspring. So as we have a marriage, it's to produce holy children, as we are supposed to be holy, and we'll talk into that today. So I think God has a great intention for married couples, but so if you're single, assuming you are going to get married at some point and you're going to have a family, so this is for you as well. There are four characteristics biblical men possess and purposefully live them out. And we're going to talk about those four areas. But first, I want to talk about some statistics you may have heard on men in the church. And please feel free to get on Google. You can search this up. This stuff is all out there. Obviously, be careful on your resources, but there's a bunch of blogs and organizations that put stuff out. The first one was, women outnumber men in attendance in every major Christian denomination. Wow. Think about that. When you're at church, if you go to church, what is the gender gap? Are you seeing a gender gap? Are you seeing way more women than men in the church? Probably so, based on statistics. I know when I'm in church, that's what I see. Women are dominating the numbers. Families are 90% more likely to attend church if the man of the household attends. I've heard that one before. The man driving the family to church, they're more likely to attend church because the man's driving it versus the woman. An old study suggests that, it's a little bit older, suggests that 75% women said faith was important to them, while only 66% of the men agreed. So again, women feel faith is more important to them than men on a higher percentage. Pew Research says that roughly 7 of 10 say it is very important for a man to be able to support the family financially to be a good husband. 7 out of 10, it's important for man to be able to support the family financially. What? To be a good husband. Wow. And 60%+ of men in church are viewing porn on a regular basis. That means when you go through church and you see 10 men, roughly, just general, six out of those 10 men are watching porn on a regular basis. It's crazy. And so we're going to talk about that's not being a biblical man, and we're going to talk into some of these topics. But there's some statistics I wanted to throw out there. Now, as we get into the whole discussion, why men are leaving the church and aren't being the leaders of the households they're meant to be, my honest opinion is we have moved, and I've said this before if you've heard me, we've moved to a cultural Christianity group, not a biblical Christianity. We've let culture take control of our faith, which is not what the Bible's telling us. So we have left the contents and relevancy of the Bible and gone to our own opinions, programs, agendas of the church today. We've accepted cultural and worldly views and ideologies into our churches, and in some cases have embraced them. We are not living out the doctrine and instructions in the books of Corinthians or Timothy or Titus. And if you haven't read those books, please do so, because you're going to learn a lot about church discipline. You're going to learn a lot about the expectations of our churches and pastors and deacons and things like that. But we're going to focus that on a different time. That's not really what we're here to do. But I think this is part of the problem is we flipped everything. We've created this monster. And so we need to get back to our roots and back to what the Bible is asking of us and requiring, and God's requiring of us, especially men. So if you're listening, I want you to walk through these points with me and really ponder where you sit with each of them. Because if you're a Christian man, or you claim to be, these four characteristics should be lived out through you on a daily basis. And I know we're not perfect, so don't catch me that, don't think I think we're perfect. We can do this always. We're not always going to be on our A game, but we should be trying to live these out through our lives on a daily basis. If not, you're not a loser or failure, as I said. You're just not. Don't think you are. Because if you hear these and you're like, man, I'm not doing that, it's okay. That's why we have this podcast. It's where we're having the discussion. You might not have ever been taught at your church. Good chance your church has never taught you this stuff. Because they're so seeker and visitor driven that they don't get in the meat and potatoes. Or you just haven't read the Bible, so you don't know. You don't even know what God expects. You might hear these verses for the very first time tonight. So give yourself some grace, take some notes, pray about it, and make some appropriate changes, okay? So let's jump into this. What are some qualities of the biblical man or characteristics? The four we're going to talk about today is number one, proper relationship with God. You got to have a proper relationship with God or nothing else happens in this thing. So a proper relationship with God. I'll ask you, do you have a proper relationship with God? You're going to go, well, what does proper mean? We'll get into it, but think about it for a second while we go through this. Do I have a proper relationship with God today? Am I a provider for my family? Am I a protector? Does my family feel protected? Do people who I lead feel protected by me? What does that look like for you? And am I a leader? Am I truly leading? A lot of this is family driven. I understand that. So if you're single, this is all going to come into play when you get hooked up and you get married with the woman of your dreams. So this is for you as well. So do you have a proper relationship with God? Are you a provider? Are you a protector? And are you a leader? So let's look at having a proper relationship with God. And if you've listened to episodes prior, there's a lot of that in there, right? There's a lot of scripture and ways that we can have a great relationship with God on a daily basis. One, prayer and reading the word are two, I would say, top ways that we could build a relationship with God and have an active relationship. One, prayer and our communication with Him, and then listening to His words or listening Him speak to us through the Spirit, through His Bible, through His words is another way that we can do that. But we're going to dig into some other things that I'd like to talk about. A verse that I love that tells us what pleases God, and it comes from Micah 6:8. And it says, He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? What does He require of you and I as men? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. To act justly. Do you act justly on a regular basis? Do you have mercy on others? And do you walk humbly with your God? Some questions to ask yourself. These are qualities that are not normal. They go against every cultural and worldly thing out there for men. You kidding me? Humble? Being just? We want to attack our people that hurt us. We're not just all the time with our thoughts and our minds. We don't love mercy. Come on. They are absolutely anti and against the cultural and worldly norms. It means we have love. That means we love compassion and forgiveness towards someone. Who, me? Walk humbly? A low estimate of my importance? To take a lowly position? That's the definition of humble? To take a lower position or condition on something. Nah, man, that's not the manly thing to do, right? Well, that's what God requires of us, as it says in Micah 6:8. So as we have a proper relationship with God, He says, these are what I require of you. To act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. So write those down, something to put down, put that verse on, something to think about. To have a proper relationship, man, we need to have these qualities. It pleases Him, or it wouldn't be there, right? But as we know, being a Christian, we are to be holy and live holy lives. If you didn't know that, it's true. If you haven't heard that in church, it's true. I mentioned the porn percent earlier of men in the church, 60% plus. That is not living holy, folks, period. It irritates God and pushes us further away, especially sexual immorality. You will see that so much in the Bible, and it's such a sin, and it's so much a roadblock between us and God. In order to have a proper relationship, we need to work heavily on being sanctified. Sanctified means set apart or holy. If you listen to other episodes, I mentioned that. I didn't even know what sanctified was. I've been a Christian for 20 years. I didn't even know what that word was. Didn't even ever heard it in church. I don't even think I read it in the Bible. So don't feel bad. It just means to be set apart or holy. So I've mentioned this a lot in other episodes, but that is what is required of all of us, men and women. But I'm speaking to you men. We need to be holy. We need to be sanctified. The Holy Spirit helps us do that when we're connected and we're trying and we're making a total effort to walk in God's ways, to walk with God and to live without sin, which is impossible, I know, but we got to try, and the Holy Spirit will help in the sanctified process, a sanctification process, which is a lifelong deal. 1 Thessalonians 4:3-8 says, "It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality," and goes on about controlling the body and not in a passionate, lustful way like those who don't know God. And that's what that verse goes into. So write that down and read it. Read the verses in that 4:3-8 that Paul talks about. It says, "For God did not call us to be impure," it says later in the verses, for God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. "He who rejects this instruction does not reject man, but he rejects God." And to have a proper relationship, we can't reject God. We can't live in sexual immorality. We can't live in porn. Paul tells us in Romans 12:2 that we are not to conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We are not to cave, was Paul saying. We're not to cave into cultural and worldly influence. And I believe our churches have. Not to be immoral, they've just adopted some of this stuff. They've allowed the sin in the church. They've allowed us to deal with porn, and they know we've got people in there dealing with porn, and we're not doing anything about it. We're not helping. We're not pushing it out. We're not asking for repentance out of that and getting rid of that. It's just kind of stuck in our churches. And men, I'm speaking to you. If you're a Christian and you call yourself that and that's what you want to be in your life and you feel like that's where you're at, you've got to remove that stuff from you. Proper relationship with God does not mean that we can conform to the patterns of the world. We cannot conform to culture. We have to be set apart. We have to be different. Peter says it best. Peter says, "We are aliens and strangers to this world. We are to be set apart and different," as I mentioned. And lastly, the Bible tells us that if we know God and He is with us and we are with Him, we will follow His commands. And we'll find this in 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. Please read 1 John. I mean, if you have not read 1 John, It is one of my favorite books. It is a great book, and it's hardly ever preached. I don't even think I heard much come out of 1 John in the church. So please read it. It will talk about it. But it says you are walking with God, and He is with you. One of the things is you're following His commands. And indulging in porn or sin is not following His commands. So read 1 John. It'll give you all the fuel you need and what is required as believers. It's so good. So a proper relationship for men and women, but focused on the males today, I'm going to break it down this way. Act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. Be holy, living holy lives the best you can. Don't conform to the world or culture around you. You got to separate yourself from it. You may have to separate from friends. We've talked about that in other episodes. You may have to spend some time alone and not have couples anymore coming over that are bad influences or that aren't following or maybe that are conforming to the cultures. You may have to make some decisions there. And number four, follow God's commands and teachings of the Bible. Those are ways that we can have a proper relationship with God. Okay? But number one, we need to have a proper relationship with God. If we're a biblical man, we have to have a proper relationship with God. And these are some of what that looks like, okay? So let's move to number two about providers. I don't have a ton of verses for this. I did some research. Other than we know that men were created to be providers for the family. We saw earlier on the statistics that we found online that culturally, we still view this as the role of the man. Okay? Not even a Christian statistic, right? We still, as a society and culture, view the man as the provider. Scripture says in 1 Timothy 5:8, if anyone does not provide for his relatives, especially for his immediate family, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Now, you'll see that verse a lot when you look up providers and Christian providers and men being providers. But man, it's pretty straightforward. It talks about widows in there. It goes on to some other requests or instructions. But it's pretty straightforward on a warning it gives us by not providing. We are denying our faith and worse than being an unbeliever. I believe that. Now, again, in our culture, we're seeing a shift of women outperforming their husbands in their professions or financial income. And I'm not saying this is not okay. I'm not saying that, nor is there anything saying that women cannot support the home financially. We know that's happening. We know the cultural times 2,000 years ago, but men should be the provider of the home, which means working hard to produce financial means to support the wife and children and necessities. Women should not feel the burden or pressure to produce, even if she is doing well in her career. I don't believe you're going to find women wanting that pressure at all or burden. Even if they're having a successful career, it's not healthy for them. That's not how they were wired. It's not how they were made. Biblically, God's word paints the picture of women taking care of the home, raising the children, and supporting and helping her husband. If you take a look at Proverbs 31, the Proverbs 31 women we always talk about, right? And let's face it, huge standard. Like, here, Christian women, I would love to be like this woman, right? You will see as you read it that not only does she take care of her home, the children, and the role of being a woman at home, but she is also an entrepreneur. She is going many hours from early in the morning until late at night. She's like a manufacturer. You'll find she's kind of an importer. She's a manager. She's a realtor. She's a farmer. She's a seamstress, kind of an upholsterer. And a merchant. She does it all. This woman is an inspiration. It is like, you want a goal in life, she's it from a Christian perspective. But I'm going to speak to the women for a second. That's a high standard that is not easy to be met. And nor is it, you're probably going to be capable of being that woman. But it's something to shoot for. But what we learn is that she's still outside of the work. She takes care of the home while her husband, as it's mentioned in there, is working and providing as well. We're strongly going to assume, based on that, based on the times, he was producing that for that household. So I was listening to a secular podcast not too long ago, and a well-known organization called Wake Up Warrior. And the founder and his wife do a podcast called Date Your Wife. And I found this very interesting as we talk about what the biblical man is and as we talk about the provider piece, we hear the same from the secular world. In other words, from non-Christian couples. And here's what the founder said. He said, a pattern we are seeing is women wanting the power to produce, but do not want to feel the pressure of having to be the provider. Why? This is me. Because God didn't create women to provide for their families. He created men to be that. But another comment he made was interesting. He says, we have never met a power-producing woman at any level who doesn't want to be in a relationship where she can trust that the man can raise the sword and go to war so she can rest. As much as they may want to try, it is not built in them to be or want to provide. It is what God designed us men to be. And if we are not fulfilling this in our marriage, we will find trouble. being seen in the secular world today by non-Christians. Trouble by men not providing, despite what your wife's career is. Biblical men, I will end on this, biblical men are hands down hardworking providers. And if you're not that, you may want to think about it. Number three, biblical men. Biblical men are protectors. We are called to protect our wife, children, and households. I want to start with the verses from 1 Peter 3:7. There might be some controversy on this verse, but really it should not be even be a debate. Now, I know there are some exceptions, but men are stronger physically than women. I think we're fair to say that. And they can do things women cannot do. And vice versa. So let's go to this verse. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so nothing will hinder your prayers. Whatever translation you want to read, weaker partner, weaker vessel, the point Peter is making is men are physically stronger than women and can be, in a lot of cases, stronger emotionally than women. It is not saying men are smarter, so don't confuse things, or more gifted than women. Women have their strengths as well. So let us not confuse things here. Men, we are to use our physical strength to protect our wife and make sure she feels secure. And our kids. She should know you will protect her even at the cost of your own life. Would you lay down your life for your wife or your family? John 15:13 says, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Would you lay down your life for your family? We have all been in this situation, right? Think about it. Loud noise shakes the house at 2 a.m. Happened to me last week. We are not waking up our wives, men, and asking her to go down and check it out. Hey, did you hear that? Can you go check that out? Nor is she jumping out of bed, grabbing a bat, mace, or a gun to go check it out. She's wanting you to go check it out. Biblical men go into the battles first for their wives and family, no matter what they are, no matter what the battles are. We should be willing to die for our family and the safety and their safety and well-being. The man is, the biblical man is the head of the household, just as Christ is of the church. And we know that Christ laid down his life for it, and we shall for our wife and family. Godly biblical men imitate Christ, and that is to protect his family, just as Jesus protects the church. Being protectors also means men for our children and the choices they make. What are they watching on TV? How they use their cell phones? What content they are putting into their brains? We will guard and protect them from sexual temptations and sexual expressions while dating. Using biblical principles taught to equip them in situations. And boy, there's a lot in the Bible about it. We're to protect them from relationships they are engaging in. Are those relationships building our kids up? Are they moving them into bettering themselves and bettering their faith as Christian families? And we're being aware and looking for those signs as biblical men. So we're not only protecting physically, and we're protecting emotionally, we're protecting our kids' decisions. As I mentioned, emotionally, we're protecting our wife and children emotionally. We're going to be tender as men, biblical men, and not letting them go down negative paths or down ungodly thoughts. Keeping them built up, loved, and secured just by who they are. And protecting them in the theological realm, right? from the Bible, from theologically, which requires us to be in the Word, men, studying and applying its teaching and its commands so that we can protect our wife and our children theologically. Especially today, we need to protect them from any false teaching, which and doctrine or theologies that are contradictory to the truth in the Bible. It's everywhere, by the way, just so you know. So it's very dangerous. And we, as protectors, need to protect them from that. There will be no better teacher and spiritual mentor than us. You won't find it. We just have to step up. We have to get the Bible in our hands and get after it and start protecting them in this way. So biblical men protect their families physically, emotionally, but also spiritually or theologically. And lastly, number four, biblical men are leaders. We were meant to be leaders in the beginning. Man was created first. Named all the beasts, birds, and bugs, and then the woman was created to be the helper, as a man was not meant to be alone. There are qualities we must possess as leaders. And let's look at 1 Timothy 3:1 through 7. Now Paul is writing to Timothy about the church leaders, deacons, and pastors. However, as godly men, we must take these instructions to heart, as I believe they apply to you and me. I don't believe these are just for church leaders. I believe it's for us men running our households as well. And you'll see why. Listen to this. If anyone sets his heart on being an overseer, now I'm going to call this over our families and friends, right? An overseer as well. You can look at it that way, even though that's not what it's translated as. I'm moving it a little bit to this portion because I really believe it fits for us as well as husbands, fathers, and men who are Christian. For he who desires a noble task. Now the overseer must be above reproach. What does that mean? That my life is such that nobody can shame it. Nobody can find much wrong with it. I don't say I'm a Christian, but I get wasted and post stupid social media pictures and cuss and just act worldly or culturally or secularly. I'm above reproach. You can find things wrong with me, but it's going to be really hard because I'm living out my faith. The husband, but one wife, not multiple wives. And that was a thing back then. Temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent, but gently, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him with proper respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? He goes on about deacons in these verses with similar characteristics and behaviors as you read. Almost the same stuff is expected of them. But you'll say again, John, hey, I'm not an overseer, I'm not a pastor, I'm not a deacon. I don't even know if they have deacons anymore. Seems like they don't. Is it not the same qualities as a leader? Listen to the description that we just went through. Is it not the same qualities as a leader? It is. As fathers, found in Ephesians 6:4, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Exasperate means irritate or frustrate them. Wow. Have you done this before, men? Fathers? Chose the wrong words with your children? Maybe cussed? Not followed the Lord's instructions? Because I don't even know what God's instructions are for training and instruction. Bringing them up. I don't even know what that looks like. Have you irritated your kids when you're trying to raise them and teach them? I know I have. Let's look at the book of Titus, and we are to also lead our younger generation, our kids, younger generation. But listen to this. Encourage the young men to be self-controlled. In everything, set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness in speech. That cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed, because they have nothing bad to say about us. We're to lead our younger generation as men, our kids, their friends. Can you imagine your life is such that how you lead others, you cannot be condemned or be ashamed because no one can say a bad thing about you? Can you imagine that? That your life is such that no one can say anything? Well, that's what it's saying here. And again, it's talking to church leaders, but I'm going to push this off to us men, because mostly church leaders are men, and that's the way it is in the Bible. But us men as fathers and husbands and leaders in our businesses and the communities, things like that, this is how we're supposed to live. It fits right in with us. Men are to be leaders spiritually. We talked about this earlier. The leaders spiritually and in charge of building the faith of the wives and children. We're in charge of the household biblically. The Bible makes this clear in the controversial scriptures found in 1 Timothy 1:11, where Paul said women should learn quietly and in full submission. It says, I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man. Just be silent. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. Those are Paul's words. Okay? We're not going to debate that right now. It's not the point. I'm telling you that us men are to be the teachers and leaders. And I know it sounds hard, but from the beginning, it was God's intention for us men to be the biblical leaders. So if you claim to be a Christian and don't like it, what I'm saying here, you're having a problem, you need to take this up with him through prayer and biblical guidance. Because that's what it's saying. Therefore, men need to be the leaders in their faith through prayer, biblical knowledge, discernment, as mentioned earlier, protectors of their children and of the false teachers that are out there. It is our job. We men need to lead our family to church, to do family Bible study, to teach God's word with our children. When is the last time you've gone through the Bible with one of your teenagers and read maybe the book of John together or did a Bible study? Ephesians 6, as we heard, we mentioned, says, raise them up through instructions of the Lord. Got to know what that means and what they are. Wives need to come to the husband, the men, for spiritual questions and concerns. My wife, Carrie, does this all the time now. She can look stuff up herself on the internet. We all can. But she respects me in my position as a spiritual leader. I've earned that through my actions and studying the Bible. So she loves and desires to be taught by me now. It's the way it was intended. This was God's intention, men. You are to be the go-to on the biblical questions of your family. The content. What does it mean? And you may not know it. You may have to look it up yourself. But you're the one that is supposed to be leading the family in that way. And I ask you where you're at in that. Is that something you're doing on a regular basis? If so, awesome. If not, you can start tomorrow. And just lastly, as followers of Jesus, we are to walk as he did. And we'll find again in 1 John, I love the book. It says, therefore, being men, we need to serve. Oh, it says, the Son of Man did not come to be served. I'm sorry. 1 John, I thought I was going to read the verse. The 1 John verse talks about how we need to walk as Jesus did as believers. And so if we do that, we need to follow what Jesus' life was like, and we know that being a man, that we need to serve as Jesus did. Jesus came to serve, as I mentioned in Matthew 20. That's what I was reading. I got confused. I have my notes here. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom to many. Leading is serving. We're serving our families. We're serving our community. We're serving our children. We're helping them be successful. It is putting ourselves last. It's putting others before us. Biblical men lead their wives and families, and we position ourselves in a way to command the respect and authority of those who love them and love us. And that's the role. So what do? We talked about four areas or characteristics of a biblical man. And number one, proper relationship with God. Number two, we're to be providers. Number three, we're to be protectors. And number four, we're to be leaders. And as we wrap up, there is a lot more we could have gone into tonight. I mean, there's just a ton on this. But again, not enough time. But I hope this has been edifying for you. I hope you got a lot out of this. And took notes, and there's some verses to look at and things you can look up and think about and pray about. These are how God made us, man. God made us this way and expects this from us. I'm a firm believer. And again, just want you to think about these and where it fits in your life and where you are at it, where you are on those. And don't beat yourself up. It's something to hopefully motivate you to look at and jump into and start putting yourself in those positions. So as always, that wraps up tonight's episode of Biblical Men. I hope you enjoyed it. As always, thank you for listening, and please share this out with others you think might need it, who want to learn more about these topics and want to join this type of conversation. Again, please rate us on iTunes, click the stars, and make comments. And we're excited about the next episode right behind this that we're going to be producing, which is for women, biblical women. And my wife and I are going to go into, and she's going to lead that one, but it's biblical women and modesty. And we're going to talk about some of the biblical verses on how women are to present themselves in church, and we believe in public, and how we might have some different things happening in our Christian community. So we're going to talk about that in the next episode, so please join that. But tonight, we complete our episode on biblical men. I hope you enjoyed it. Looking forward to another great conversation, and you guys have a great week. Enjoy back to school, and we will talk to you again soon.